This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It seems everybody's worried about deficits these days.
From those budget hawks in Washington who want to slash government spending,
to American young people who worry about the personal deficits created by their enormous student loans.
The two concerns come together in higher education. We're in a time when growing numbers of people are questioning the cost and purpose of a college education and the utility of government-funded research.
It's a precarious time, according to MIT President Susan Hockfield. She'll join us later in the show to tell us why.
But first, a Supreme Court case and a constitutional challenge to a Vermont law that seeks to rein in a very modern practice. We're talking about data mining, and it's unlikely that the nation's founders, more than 200 years ago, anticipated the constitutional implications of data mining, if they even knew what it was. But the High Court will now decide what the Constitution says about this information age question. At issue, should pharmaceutical companies be allowed to use prescription information to market drugs to particular doctors who wrote those prescriptions? Many healthcare professionals say no, and three New England states, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, have passed the nation's first laws to limit that practice. Drug companies and data collection firms are challenging the Vermont law, and the High Court will hear arguments in the case tomorrow. Lyle Denniston covers the Supreme Court for SCOTUS blog. And Lyle, let's back up here. What is the data that's being mined here? Just clarify that for us a bit.
Yes, this is the information that comes off of a prescription blank that a doctor hands to a patient and a patient takes to a drugstore and the drugstore pharmacy fills it. And it includes the particular medicine that the doctor is recommending that the patient take and the dosage. It also includes the name and the address of the doctor. It does not include the information about the patient. In other words, the patient's name and address are not included in the data that these companies retrieve from pharmacies. By the way, they buy them from the pharmacies.
Right.
In a straight commercial transaction.
Sure. So they buy this information, which does include the doctor's name. So how do pharmaceutical companies use this information?
Well, the pharmaceutical companies, in turn, aggregate the data. In other words, they will find out from a multitude of prescriptions, you know, billions of them are written every year, they will get a profile of a particular doctor's prescription practices. And then they will go to that doctor and they'll say, look, we noticed that you are prescribing this or that particular medicine for this particular ailment, and let us talk to you about our drugs. This is what's called detailing.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor is able to turn the detailer away always. And under the law of Vermont, the doctor can also bar the pharmaceutical company from getting his or her prescription blanks. There's an opt-out process.
I see. Now, yeah, because a lot of healthcare professionals don't like this practice. Why not? What do they have against it?
Well, first of all, the many professionals in the medical community believe that they don't get straight information from pharmaceutical companies because the detailers are actually promoting their company's products. And they claim that it interferes with their medical decision-making because they're put under a lot of pressure. And there is also a complaint that the pharmaceutical companies are using this information to try to discourage doctors from prescribing generic versions of their brand name products. And generic drugs, of course, are considerably cheaper than brand name drugs.
Hmm. So the Vermont law would prohibit the use of this information, which would include the doctor's name. And I understand three data mining companies, as well as a drug marketing trade group, have challenged the law. On what grounds are they challenging it?
Well, they claim that this is a censorship law that is targeting directly the message that pharmaceutical companies are making when they go out to doctors. They point out that the Vermont law allows a lot of other organizations and entities to obtain the same kind of information, including insurance companies. They can buy it from pharmacies and make use of it. Law enforcement can acquire this information and make use of it. So the data mining companies and the pharmaceutical manufacturers Association are arguing that what Vermont is doing is singling out a particular commercial message, that is, what the pharmaceutical detailers say to the doctors, and censoring that message outright. And so that is a flat violation of the First Amendment free speech clause.
So we're really talking about this notion of commercial speech versus individual speech or political speech, right?
Yes, and traditionally, under Supreme Court prior rulings, commercial speech does not have the full protection that, let's say, a political speech does. So that one of the arguments that's kind of being made on the side here is that the Supreme Court should reconsider its past rulings and elevate commercial speech, that is, the conveyance of truthful information about commercial products, to full First Amendment protection. That probably won't happen in this case, but that's an argument that they're trying to make to bolster their claim that what's going on here essentially is a regime of censorship.
Interesting to note that several news organizations, including the Associated Press, have filed briefs in support of the data miners.
Yes, well, it is a fact of life in modern American journalism that reporters and their editors do a lot of data mining on their own. Just to give you one example of this, the Federal Election Commission gathers a lot of information about contributions that are made to politicians. Well, news organizations get this information online, and they process this information, and they find out a great deal about what's happening in the political campaign community. And a great many kind of public service stories in journalism are based upon a similar form of data mining. Data mining is really a very modern information processing technology, and it's very, very widely used.
Interesting. Just to be clear, part of the argument that the data miners are using is that they've been singled out, right? That this information can still be used for other purposes, like medical research, but just not for marketing. That's part of their concern
that's
here.
That's their primary argument, because there is longstanding Supreme Court doctrine under the First Amendment that the government is forbidden to pick out a message that it does not like and forbid the conveyance of that message.
And on the other side, the state is hoping that this isn't going to be looked at as a censorship argument, but that it's an access argument. Is that fair?
Right. There's another line of Supreme Court rulings that says that the right of the press and the public to get access to information does not extend to information that is private in nature and has not traditionally been open to public inspection. So they are arguing that if you apply the concept of access to private information, the data mining companies and the drug companies have no First Amendment right of access. And so they're trying to get the Supreme Court to treat this as people who are trying to get access to information to which they have no constitutional right.
Do you have any sense of who might prevail in this case, which gets underway tomorrow?
Well, I'm somewhat inclined to think that the court is going to look at this as an access question, though this is a court that is fairly sympathetic to business interests, and there are a lot of briefs filed here by business interests, and so I can imagine the court being very closely divided on it, and it's probably very hazardous to predict the outcome.
Well, Lyle, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Anthony, I'm glad to be with you.
That's Lyle Denniston. He covers the Supreme Court for SCOTUS Blog, and he joined us from the Supreme Court in Washington.
Well, coming up after the break, MIT President Susan Hockfield joins us. As the institution celebrates its 150th anniversary, Susan Hockfield looks to the next century and wonders about what she sees. We'll ask her why. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.